everything will magically come together, and and we'll all feel like we're experts in space time. So one thing I should have clarified, so these sessions are the morning sessions, the enrichment presentations. So one of the aims, or one of the bigger aims, is really to work at and really look at improving your knowledge of modern physics as a teacher, not necessarily stuff that you could directly use. Every single thing that we've done, take that, do exactly the same thing for the students, because some of the things we've done have been quite advanced. That's not to say, I mean, there are some teachers out there, there's a small number, but there are some that do something on space-time diagrams at the high school level. But this is the way a lot of professional physicists really understand special relativity and general relativity in terms of diagrams like these. So not necessarily everything you can take back, but maybe there's something that you can. I'm just saying, I guess that from the point of view, not that we're recommending, you know, you go back and this is exactly how you can teach a lot of things.
Damien, one little point.
Yeah.
Henry is doing it with grade 9 students.
Okay. You do space time diagrams with grade 9 students? That's
a little bit, yes.
Okay.
They have something in their spawning units where they talk about is redshift and redshift.
Right.
So I throw open the doors to special relativity and talk about that for a day or two.
Okay. Wow. Great. I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can convince you to get a special presentation this afternoon. Okay, so what what we're going to see is that we've got Klingon spaceship reference frame, sort of stopping time, and we did this laborious procedure of sort of drawing lines like this, and we found out that lo and behold, it was time capital T it took to find out that the time in her reference frame that she measures between those two events. Now, we've got a difference frame, Earth. And so from the point of view of the spaceship, Earth is zooming past at, you know, half the speed of light, incredibly high speed. And so if we go back to the light clock, then this is basically exactly the same. So we've got two events that occur at the same place, but just at different times in that reference frame. We had a time for those. And that's exactly the same as we have in the light clock. Instead, we're just replacing the mirror, the lights are starting at the bottom and then going up and bouncing back with two events of Klingon starting type and stopping type. But in essence, they're exactly the same. So we get one time here. And here, due to time dilation in the moving frame, moving relative to the light clock, we get a greater time, for the time being sort of stretched out, if you like. And so just as we get that, well, they get exactly the same thing in this case. So the person on Earth, they will actually measure the time between the Klingon starting type and the Klingon stopping type as being not 5 seconds, but 7 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever it is, depending on the time dilation. Let's make the time dilation, whatever the factor is. So we're looking for a greater time in the Earth's reference frame. So that's the basic general idea. And so what we can see is we can determine this time interval by an analogous procedure we did with the lines just before. And so in this case we start at the x-axis, but now we have, these are the coordinates here. So do I have to do something? I don't think I have a different color, no. So my apologies, you don't have these in your notes, but so these are the axes. So we looked at these from yesterday. So these are the axes, the axes that aren't right next to each other for the Earth's frame. And what we just started off here, and we just drew lines up like this. So that was the spaceship's frame, frame at right angles. Now you want to figure out what time the person in the Earth's frame sees as being between the Klingon starting type and stop type. So let's just do the same thing. So let's, instead of get the x-axis, let's get the x-dash axis. And draw sort of a dotted line, I guess, right next to that. And so remember we knew that the marks on the x-dash axis, or the t CT dash axis, they have to be stretched out by time dilation demands that. We don't have them the same distance here as here. It's actually a greater distance along here.
How much do
you? It's greater by, the, I think it's by the factor gamma.
Yes, that's right.
By whatever the gamma is. So, actually, I'll just write down the gamma factor. I think it was in the notes, but.
It's greater by your head.
Okay, thanks. So by that about there, so it's some function, in essence, it's a function of velocity. So what I find very useful is to plot gamma versus V.
Can we do that other diagram first?
This one?
It's covered.
Okay. Sure. Okay, so... Okay, so we've got the marks there by this greater factor here. And so we find this point here, this one on the CT dash axis, and we just draw a straight line that goes through that, but it's parallel to this X dash axis. And we just get a ruler, draw that straight line. Okay, that's still, that hits the...
How do you get that first point, maybe? Point one?
This one here?
Yeah. How are you getting that point that the line goes through?
What you can do is we know what you can get. So if you know what the C dash axis is, you know that that's the line that will have gradient C divided by V. So you can just draw a line with that gradient. And then you actually get, if you go along just a unit gamma on that, figure out what gamma is as a function of velocity, and then you can get a ruler. Draw that on.
No, David, how about this is it for an answer? I think you can find that as well. Draw a perpendicular from X prime up to CT prime.
Right, okay.
Do it, please.
Right. I feel like the thing's already pretty crowded.
What?
It's already pretty crowded.
It's already pretty crowded.
Well, essentially, gamma is a Pythagorean relationship. So if you make the Pythagorean triangle by drawing a perpendicular from X prime to CT prime, and then you count up that line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like you want to with the dashed lines, then you're going to find that it's it'll be really clear. No, so not there, but up further.
So draw a
perpendicular. Yeah. And I think it'll just become really clear for everybody.
So draw a perpendicular.
Because it hurts space-time, they're perpendicular.
Actually, the perpendicular should come off the x axis.
The space between the time dashes off of the x prime axis, like that, should be the same distance between them as the ones up at CTX.
Oh, yeah, so you're saying there's a symmetry between them.
On the perpendicular.
Yeah, is that what you're saying, Bill? Okay, so it sounds, but I definitely argue with that.
Those ticks that you just drew is not what I was saying at all.
Okay. So I'd be happy to talk to you about it later on.
I'm just saying exactly what you've done, but all you need to do is just make a triangle.
A triangle here?
Except make it bigger.
Like this?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're saying that would be three there?
Right. And now your dashed lines and everything are perfect, right? You follow the dashed line?
Okay, so everyone's happy. So yeah, good point. So that's just seeing the symmetry between the x dash and t dash axis. So thank you for that. So okay, what we have is we've done that for one here, and then to the next one is complete, and even though they're greater part all points by the time, so in this example, by the time we get to the fourth one actually goes through the time, the time CT equals 3 there. And so what that means is that actually in the, so before, what we did is we draw, go back here. We had all these parallel lines here, and they told us just how much time had elapsed between A and B in the spaceship's frame. We're just going up by one unit here. So what we want to find out is how much time elapsed. Again, we've got event B here, we've got event A. So the event's not changed, the change reference frame, the event there's things that just space happen in space, they're not tied to any reference frame. And so what we're trying to do, just from a diagram, so just as we found out how much time in frame T, the spaceship's frame had elapsed between the Klingon's done type and self-type. We want to find out how much frame time has elapsed in between those two events in the Earth's frame. Now we could, at this point, we just knew the Earth's velocity, we'd actually just use the time dilation formula, this formula up here, and it would give us exactly the same answer as about to get from the space-time diagram. So this is another way of looking at it, and this is a way, actually, if you do not even know that formula, just have the space-time diagram, you just have the marks, you can actually get exactly the same answer. So we're looking for an answer greater than. So we just follow the same procedure we did before. And here, and then we find a line that actually passes through this event B, and that's the line that corresponds to 4 units of time. And so what we know, and that then that gives us our answer. That gives us that 4 seconds of time has passed on Earth from the Earth reference frame when someone on Earth sees event B is happening. And what that means is so that actually, that should be C there. Delta CT spaceship is 4. Delta CT. CT spaceship is 3. Delta CT Earth is 4. And so what we actually have, so we actually. So even though, basically, so that's the answer. We've actually got that. And that would correspond to, I'm not sure what the velocity would be, but it would something, be something like around about sort of 80, 85% speed of light to actually get a gamma factor of 4 over 3. So it's a bit strange what we're doing, but in a sense, so what one way of kind of understanding, getting a better idea of what's going on is that in going back to this frame here, when we draw a line or horizontal across like this, we think of all the points on that line, they're of equal time. So these, this is sort of an equal time line, sort of this time slice we take in the spaceship reference frame. And everything that happens, because these are x and t coordinates, and so there are things, or maybe there's points out in space, correspond to all of these points here. They're all things that happen at the same time. We drew sort of dots here, here, and here. But things in the, we know there's sort of relativity of simultaneity, so that what happens if two events happen at the same time in my reference frame, then they don't necessarily happen at the same time with your reference frame or any other reference frame if they're moving faster than that. And so to actually find out all the events that happen at the same time in the Earth's reference frame, just as we take a line parallel to the x-axis, and that's where all the events that happen at the same time. We find all the events that happen at the same time in the spaceship axis, in the Earth's axis, they're actually correspond to all these events that are, or a set of events that are parallel to, that are parallel to the X dash axis here. And so when we draw lines like this, these are actually lines of equal time. And so all the events on these lines we do, even though they're at an angle, to someone on Earth, in the Earth reference frame, they all occur at precisely exactly the same time. And so it's kind of weird that we could have... an event C up there, that's one thing that happens, and that could be... So that could be someone on Earth, I don't know, looking through a pair of binoculars at the person on the spaceship. But that event... That's really bad, it's confusing, so my apologies for that. So, that makes more sense now, so, that a bit. So we have event C up there, but all, I could have event D, then E, F, G, H, and then we have B down there, and they occur from the perspective of someone on Earth, all at exactly precisely the same time. Because they, so it's very, very, it's kind of a strange concept, but it's actually they occur at the same time, because just as, take an analogy with what's happening in the spaceship screen. And so the time here, 4 seconds, is exactly the same as the time here for P, 4 seconds, the time for H, G, F, E, and D. So that, and again, you can actually, so obviously it's not precisely drawn out, but you can do it, you can really measure out this. And you can actually, as I was saying before, your students, well, or anyone, cannot know the time dilation formula, they can get it from this graph. So, sort of one example of what we're looking at in space time diagrams. So I kind of have, I think, in the next one, two slides. There's another derivation or a way of actually measuring and finding out that where these graduations and where these marks actually are. I kind of might skip that if that's okay with everyone else. I'd be happy to take any questions if anyone wants to ask me that. Afterwards, this is probably, I kind of realized afterwards, a little bit technical. That's really another way of actually finding out, sort of backup way of finding out exactly how far these marks are apart by using this S, this space-time interval. There's actually a mistake on that slide I just realized before, that I think you have a less than sign there. So if you all rub that out, and don't tell anyone that I put the less than sign there, I'll kick me out of the institute.
James, sir.
Yep. Yes, James.
One of clarification. So for the diagrams, you don't need to use the time dilation formula, but you need to know that you scale up your time units
by gamma. Yeah, that's right. So you may say, well, you need to know that you need to scale up. You need the time dilation formula. But so you can actually get the scaling without the time dilation formula.
And that's hyperbole.
Yes, an hyperbole thing. You're basically by, I mean, I have to explain that later on, but it's basically, we have the hyperbola. So where, that's an hyperbola there for s equals 1, the top one up there, actually, that's an hyperbola for s equals 1, and where that actually intersects the CT dash axis, that actually corresponds to the point t equals t dash equals 1, because there you have a space-time interval, and s equals 1 is purely made up of time. There's no space there, because they're all points where s dash equals 0. Just as points along this axis are at x equals 0. So the space-time interval is purely time, and so in that case, s equals c t dash, but we know that hyperbola was s equals 1, so 1 equals CT dash, and so that's point 1 on the CT dash axis. And that gives you exactly the same calculation as what we did before. So that's the way, without actually using the time dilation formula. But I agree, the way I presented it was kind of circular. We had to get the time dilation. We used the fact of time dilation to get the marks. So, yeah. Yes?
Amy, is it possible to maybe give just, I'd say, 2 minutes? Because I know it's a lot of people are just trying to sort a couple of ideas out, and rather than have that sort of going on while we continue, give them 2 minutes
like
maybe
two-minute
to do that.
Out.
Give them to just talk and clarify some ideas, and then we'll move on.
Sure. Okay.
Does that sound reasonable, folks?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Don't get it all clarified. I'm not going to be able to do that.
and that's what I'm saying. Establish where your x dash line is.
Flip it over to the line, like this.
of the CT line. CT
yeah, that's line. One way of doing it.
Can you write on the board?
Can I write?
Just exactly how you establish the X dash line.
Okay, so there's a way we talked about. So there are two ways of doing it. There's the way we talked about yesterday with the mirrors. So there's that way, but also you can take the line, the 45 degree line, the line with the gradient of y equals x, the gradient 1, and then you can actually reflect this line here about that axis.
So about slope, is that what? D over c for the slope then?
Absolutely, correct. Absolutely correct. So c over b and b over c. So yes. Actually, yeah, that's an easy way. Just draw a line with the slope of B over C. So that's this is like slope. Yes. Okay. So. So exactly the same situation, spaceship reference frame makes A and B, Earth reference frame. So what I would like you to do is to assume that the Lorentz factor, the gamma factor, is 2. So the time dilation is by a factor of 2. I would like you to draw the ticks here and construct the ticks or the marks here on the CT axis, CT dash axis. And the parallel lines corresponding with those parallel to the x dash axis, and do those in such a way that things work out in accordance with this formula, so that according to the Earth's frame, the dashed frame, you actually measure not the time, 2 seconds for CT, but 4 equals CT dash. So it's exactly like what I did. Oops. So in essence, really drawing something like we have here, but just do it so that you actually get the value of 2 for the time dilation. So at the time in that the person on Earth measures to elapse in between events A down here, and be up here, the Klingon starting type and the Klingon stopping type, it's not, I guess in that case it probably would have been 4 and it's 3, so that's time dilation of 4 over 3, but this, we've got a Lorentz factor of 2, so I actually draw it, so we get the Lorentz that turns out to be 4 corresponds to the point here, and actually drawing the lines CT dash equals 3, CT dash equals 2, CT dash equals 1. Do anyone like some clarification on that? So, in essence, I know you don't have rule. Probably most of you don't have rulers, so I won't be able to absolutely exact. Just as well as fair, what I did was drew lines along this axis that were equally spaced apart. They were the equal time, mass, and time graduation. And I drew them in such a way that when we actually, and I guess there's 0 rundown here, but we started out with a line and stashed it to 0. And then we went up, we drew a line that went through this, and we went up, we found that x equal, xct dash equals 1 mark, drew a parallel line through it parallel to the x dash axis. And then we're up to CT dash equals 2, parallel line, CT dash equals 3. But this parallel line up here, which corresponds to 4, went down and went through 3 on the CT axis. So what I want is to go the parallel line 4 on your CT dash axis to go down through not 3 here, but 2 in this example. As best you can, given the tools that you have.
Oh, okay. I'm
being on a line that's That's parallel, yeah. And actually going through this point here.
Alright, that's all you have to do. That's it.
So that's what you want.
Because you were able to scale it back.
Damien.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if that's your four, put your tick mark then at your two. Your T prime is two.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look bigger than
right.
the other axis. And it's because you've chosen a speed of almost 0.9 C. So in fact, those purple lines, they're almost at 45.
Is that where we keep going?
Yes, please do.
Please do.
Step by step.
Just change the scale a little bit, that's fine. You can use the slopes if you want to.
So parallel with this. Going through there. It's there. Make a little dot. And then get it four. Choose about there. Freeze.
Okay, now for me, Damien, what happens next? I got to this point. What am I supposed to do with it now? Like, what was that other than just coming up with a scale? Is that all we were supposed to do?
That was all.
So what do I do with this now that I have it?
Right. Actually, I was talking to this about some people down the front. What you're actually starting to do, in essence, is to draw a grid for this C, T dash, and X dash axis. But you can imagine, if we wanted just to be in the spaceship frame, so just C and T, everything arrives, which is possible. If we wanted to find out... So I should say, okay, so first of all, that's all I want you to do for the problem.
Okay.
That was end of problem.
All right.
But I think you're asking what I was actually doing. What was the meaning behind this?
Because if I took this to a kid, they'd go, yeah, sold so
whatever. Right, then you're saying you're just following this algorithm, series of rules behind
that's right.
it. You're saying,
where's the aha here for you?
Okay. What you're actually doing is you're drawing or starting to draw a coordinate for V for the X dash and T dash, the Earth reference frame. And once you do a coordinate grid, you've got all the X dash or the C T dash or the X dash coordinates, then you can basically get, no matter what event you choose or any two events, you can get the length and the distance between those as measured by an observer in that reference frame.
So now another question would come in right now, and we would say that Joe Blow took 3.5 seconds to do something, you know, in the spaceship. What's happening? What was the observation from the planet? And then we end up using that particular thing to be drawn so far.
Absolutely, yes. So, absolutely. And what just is in the question graph, normal grid in... special relativity, and in some sense, this contains all the weirdness of relativity.
Yeah.
What you get is a line parallel to this. Parallel to this, these are lines of equal time. And then they're lines of equal time. So we want to get lines of equal distance. We take this axis and draw lines parallel.
It's just a translation.
So because of the weird, strange nature of space time spectral relativity, this minus sign. This is what is really Chris.
That's what we're looking for. And then so for this particular gamma function, for this particular speed end, that piece of graph paper is what they use to graph to find other stuff that they want.
Well, that's what we're looking for. Oh, okay. Didn't everyone saw that?
This grid that we're going to share with us yesterday that's on the CD. We didn't understand what that meant. Other than knowing what the gamma value is to work back to B over C or C over V.
Yeah.
Is there any other way of getting x prime from that graph just by knowing gamma without going back to find C and V?
Is there any other way of getting
x prime? The x prime represents what's happening in your reference, right? But instead of telling me what C and, well, the ratio of C would be, you tell me how the outcome of that is when you get gamma function. Okay. And to me, I would have drawn a line equal to the x prime line, divided up into four. Draw a line between the four and the four, and now I've got it.
Yeah.
And then I can draw a parallel line.
Yeah.
But I did not know what x prime was. I did not know what that line looked like. The only way in my mind that I could figure out what x prime was by taking gamma and going back and finding out what the ratio of C would be.
So in some ways I was doing things back to front, so not the most intuitive way. To my mind, the most intuitive way was what I think you said was you draw the axis, put those little jigsaw marks on it at the right interval, and you can do that, knowing what the space-time interval is and knowing what the gamma is, and then you start drawing the lines. So yes, you can do it that way. You can know what the tick marks are on the x primes.
So my question to you is, can I find out what the tick mark, marks are in x prime without knowing C over B?
Without calculating
what C over B is from the gamma function of 2.
From the gamma function of
the gamma value of 2.
Well, I mean, you can, just trivially, because when
I understand that, but this is the question I was asking myself in my mind.
Okay, so the answer is yes. If you know gamma, then you just put that in, then you know C, because gamma is just a simple function of B. You may just make B the subject of the formula gamma equals 1 divided by square root 1 minus B squared C squared.
So
that
a good drawing
of
I'd have to work backwards to find the ratio of C over B.
And that gives you the slope of the graph. You're right. Okay. So what we'll do now is we'll just finish up with more lines with length contraction. And so what you can see, you can actually do an analogous thing to what we've done. For length contraction, for time dilation, you can do the same thing with length contraction, actually get length contraction. And that's what we'll do. So what we have is a stick lying on the ground at rest. And what does that look like as it goes through time? So as it goes through time, it's not moving where it's on the ground. So we're changing from the spaceship's frame to the ground frame. So the seeker's just staying there, and it's length b minus a. So it's just there. And so what it actually looks like is just a stick that goes up and up in time. So it actually looks like this continuous area here. And so it's not a line that's stretched out. And it's kind of like an area or a sheet. And so the technical name for that is world sheet. So it doesn't really matter. But if you actually look at string theory, a string is not a point part. And so a string is this extended out thing, which, well, if it's straight, then it looks a little bit like a stick. And so in string theory, you actually get world sheets. And if you look at strings, two strings colliding with each other, then what they actually look like is two... kind of sticks getting closer with each other. And then if they bounce off each other, they go, it's kind of like an X shape here. Now sometimes you see diagrams like that in string theory, so that's just an aside. So we've got this world sheet, that's what it looks like in this frame. So we know that we have length contraction, so that's the proper length, the L naught, that someone in this... Actually, I should just take a deep breath and just review length contraction. So that just as we have the light clock, that someone right in the same reference frame as the clock, they will measure some particular time, G naught, and someone else moving at a high speed relative to them will measure a longer time dilation, T dash. So you get a similar thing with length, but it's the opposite. It's not contraction. So it's not expansion, but it's contraction. So if you're actually in the frame of reference of the stick or the rod or whatever it is, you measure it to be a certain length, 1 meter. And then anyone else measuring it and moving at a very high speed towards you or away from you, so that you're an alien going past half the speed of light in a spaceship, Klingon, what they do is they actually measure it as being shorter. And actually in... it's only parallel to the direction of motion. Actually, kind of it's being compressed down. And the amount that it's compressed down by is basically the same amount that, or the same ratio that you actually get the dilation by. So it's a gamma factor that. And often the formula, that's the formula for the length contraction. So that's the length in the rest frame, if you write, not moving relative to the stick. So it's some length, and then you figure out what gamma is. Gamma is something that's always greater than 1. And if you've got a graph of gamma versus v, it starts out with velocity 0, 1, and it goes up and up, and it actually has an asymptote at c. It actually goes up to infinity at c. And so basically, that means as we're getting larger and larger velocity, so the length contraction goes up to infinity. So if you're moving past almost the speed of light, relative to some object, you see it as being almost zero in length. This length contraction actually gets larger and larger. So that's length contraction. And so what we'll show is how you can actually see it, basically using the same procedure before by using this grid here. So once you've got this grid, you can actually just read off what the lengths are. You'll actually see that while this is proper length L naught, this larger length in the rest frame, it's actually less. And so I guess intuitively, one way of seeing why it's less length, these lines are actually going... So actually, no. Okay, so yeah, that's right. So these are the length lines here. And they're actually further apart here. Actually, in a sense, tend to be further apart than what they are, the vertical ones. And so if they're further apart, then, that's where you get the contraction, sort of less of them between the start and the finish. So, so that's what we have. So we're looking for a shorter length here with the length of contraction. So another way of doing it, just as... Before, what we did before what we did with with time is we actually define out the time between two events, the Klingon stage type and subject type. What we did is got actually a line diagram parallel to the t-axis at time equals zero, and we just went up and up and up until eventually we got one that was t equals capital T. And okay, yes, that's the time interval between the Klingon stage type and subject type. And we can actually do the same thing. So first of all, the easiest way is just to read off from the graph. You can read axes. You can just read off what the time is or the length is between here and here. But again, if you want to do this sort of over-cautious, laborious way of doing it, we could actually get a line that coincided with x equals a, keep on drawing lines parallel to the t-axis. These would be lines 1 unit of length along. Eventually, we'd reach one. We draw one that would hit and coincide and go through point x equals b, t equals 0, and that would give us the time or the length of the axis. We'd have to take the difference between that position and that position. So what we do is exactly the same thing for the an axis. Again, this could be a spaceship axis or just something moving at a high speed relative to whatever we're looking at. And when if you do that, it's exactly what we were doing before, except we have, what we're looking at is this is the x dash axis, not the t dash axis. We have a scale for that. The two parts are further apart than what they are actually here. So we found out what they were. They're the same distance apart that the ct dash ones are. So we've actually got this 1, 2, 3 ticks there. So 3 there. And if you do the same thing, what you actually need to do is these are lines that all correspond to having been exactly at the same point, the same distance, point in distance in this dashed axis, because again you have this kind of slanted scale, and points parallel to the x dash axis, they all have equal amounts of time, and so similarly points, all these lines here, all the points on these lines, actually have an equal amount of space or distance in the dashed axis. So what we need to do is define, first of all, so it's not that we're drawn, but find one that actually, the first one that actually just goes through, just starts to go through, say, probably the easiest is just to look at points along this axis here and find what the line where it just starts to go through or it hits the edge here, this point down here, see if you like, and then keep following one, this coincides with the middle, and then you find this point here actually coincides with the end of it. And when you do that, you actually take, basically, find out how many distant points you have gone along here, and this one, roughly speaking, coincides with, or at least along the x dash axis, with the point, or the first edge, this point C, the left edge of the stick, or some point along the left edge of the stick. And then we go, this one's in the middle, and this one's actually on the end, keeping along the x dash axis. And we've just gone over two marks there, and so roughly speaking, in that reference frame, what the length we would actually measure would be 2 there for that. And if we did and drew the scale out here, kind of as you have it accurately, we would get something like, maybe I'm guessing it would be something like 3 here to give you a Lorentz factor of 1/12. Whatever that turns out to be, but this would give you a, or would it be the 1/2. So yeah, 3/2. So this would give you essentially 3 units there, and actually a shorter distance. So you always actually get a shorter distance. So what I might do now is actually do. So I'll just do one example. So actually, I should put the numbers on there. So I'll do one example with the numbers, and then I think we'll go to lunch. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, so last thing is we will draw the axes. Axis here and purple. Stick going up like this. place is going to work. Yeah, this should work. So. Yeah, this should work. Okay, so L naught proper length equals 3 meters, 3 meter long so you can rest frame. Find out what the length is for each of the markers along the X dash frame. Okay. And then find out all so we have of course 0, 1 there, and then just where if we stick along the x dash axis. The first point where a point along that goes starts just goes through a point on the stick is here. So we want to. Okay, so. So what are we. Okay, so that's fine. So let's start drawing. So draw a line parallel. Just gives us that. So if we draw lines parallel to the CT dash axis, then you find out that, okay, so at one particular time, what we draw, so the length, so that's right about 2.5 there. So what we actually find, we can draw one line in there. So that gives us a length around about 2.5 in the moving frame for the length of the stick. So 2.5. equals L dash. And so that's some sort of that's length contraction. It's a lesser value. And how do we get that? In analogy with drawing lines parallel to the x dash axis and in correspondence, basically following on, keeping with the marks on the CT axis here, we do the analogous thing. So that's parallel to the other axis now, because these are actually points all of equal time. They're the same, actually, sorry, points of equal distance. This is how the distance axis, the x dash axis, look in the frame moving relative to the stick. So it's got these weird, so normally you expect all the distance lines to be going up vertically. All the points up vertically have the same distance from the origin. But now in this axis, all these diagonal lines, we've got the strange kind of contorted Lorentz space, all the points on these lines parallel to the CT dash axis, they are all the same distance away from the origin in the dash frame. Yep.
I just want to confirm my understanding of this. Could you draw the stick for us in the prime frame of reference?
That's what it looks like.
Isn't the stick drawn in the XT frame of reference right now?
It's just drawn what it is. The person in there, the actual stick is a series of events or all these events together, and it looks exactly the same.
So
you could.
It wouldn't somehow tilt over and run, like you see how you've got 0 to 2.5 there? It wouldn't head off in that direction in the X prime, CT prime?
So what I could do is I could draw it from the perspective of, draw it from the perspective of the person moving relative to it, and then, so the stick would appear to be moving. So it would actually be moving to the left. So I could draw that axis. So this is what you mean, I could draw those axes parallel. Perpendicular to each other, then it actually would be looking going up. It would be something like So the person is moving up, moving right to relative to 6, so the stick moves a bit left, so it would look something like that in that axis. So that's the answer. So what we have here is essentially we just draw these lines, and the first line we actually draw is where the point, or just one, goes through one point of the stick, and then we keep on going until we reach the point at the same time that actually sort of gets to the other end of the stick. So here we just reach the front end of the stick at the same time as the other end, and so you want to make sure you keep going along this line with all these points, because you measure the stick at one time, and all these points along this line correspond to the same time. And it doesn't have to be that x dash x, but that's the easiest way of doing it. So that's actually what the distance is, and that gives you 2.5. And so that is length contraction. And again, you can do that without knowing the formula. If you get the quiz right, you use the resource we already gave yesterday, you can actually basically read off from the grid length contraction. Yes?
As x prime goes up, for it's 45 degrees,
yep,
then that's all sliding down and eventually becomes zero?
Absolutely, yep. Okay. Yep. Just as time dilation eventually becomes infinite. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it slides up as we go up, you're saying it slides further across.
Well, if the length along that x prime line is going to get shorter.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Absolutely, correct.
And then eventually, when I'm at the line of 45 degrees,
yep,
then all those things have slid onto themselves.
Yeah. Okay. And so basically things are really weird.
Well, the space between the lines gets smaller.
So it's like shutters closer.
It gets larger. It actually, because
it's got a scale.
Okay. So what I'm doing is a bit of discussing happening now, and I think that would go perfectly. We're going to take one more question and then we'll go to lunch. The last question, and we have 45 minutes, so we really want to be back. So the keynote speaker we actually have was probably the person that was actually the best speaker.
He's fabulous.
Yes, he's fabulous. So we really want to make sure it all rests at
community. And you want to get some fresh air because you need to pay attention.
So what we're going to be talking about, so it's dark energy and dark matter. So what makes up 97 or 96% of the universe? So that's what things are fresh air for.